many people get anxious about going to the dentist, but if you're a survivor of family violence or sexual assault, the experience can be triggering. Experts from around the world have been sharing their knowledge on a variety of subjects at the World Dental Congress, which is underway in Sydney this week. And one specialist has been highlighting why dental visits can be so difficult for victims and survivors and why it's a global issue. Melbourne dentist Dr. Sharon Zaks AO focuses on anxious and phobic patients and survivors of sexual assault and trauma and joins us now. Dr. Zaks, good morning. Thank you for your time.
Oh, good morning. Thank you very much for having me on.
I must admit, I wasn't aware of the correlation there. Why is visiting the dentist so hard for victims and survivors of abuse and trauma? What is it about a visit?
Well, I could talk about this for hours. It's such a good question, and I'm very, very grateful to get this information out there because so many survivors are unaware of the links. And so all trauma involves a loss of power and control. So by definition, the events are so stressful, they overwhelm our ability to cope. And unfortunately, the body remembers trauma and looks out for similar threats in the future as part of our survival response. And if we're feeling helpless or powerless, or we're back in a similar situation to the original trauma, painful memories and emotions can resurface from initial events. And this sets off distress and anxiety and panic, and also withdrawn responses to fear, like dissociation and freeze, the deer in headlights response.
Yeah.
And that can make it even harder to pick things up because patients are often quiet,
but they're
equally scared.
So what is it about being in a dental chair that can be triggering based on all those factors you've just said?
Yes. So the dental surgery itself is full of triggers for memories. So unfortunately, there's an enormous power imbalance in the dental setting, not just physically, but also emotionally and psychologically, which is particularly crucial for trauma survivors. Mm-hmm. There's such a high degree of submission required just to get procedures done. And in addition to that power imbalance, there are actually many parallels between the experience of sexual abuse and being in the dental chair itself, from lying in the lap of an authority figure to having your mouth filled up and holding open for a long time.
Where you can't communicate and that sort of thing. I mean,
That's right.
Yeah, as I say, these things hadn't occurred to me, but when you describe it like that, it's obvious, those links. I mean, as a dentist, what are some of the signs you've seen that can indicate that, you know, someone's unease, and let's not forget, a lot of us are uneasy in a dental chair, but someone's unease is something more serious?
Yes, there are very particular indicators of survivors of sexual assault or family violence and the ways that patients present to us that I was going through in my presentation yesterday that we really need to look out for. So unfortunately, it's really common for survivors of trauma to have been blamed or been told that the abuse is their fault. So the trauma often leaves people feeling very broken and full of intense shame and guilt and very low self-worth. So that can present to us as ignoring body signals like pain, so putting up with a toothache for much longer than usual, great difficulty with self-care, for example, brushing and flossing. I see patients who just can't bear to put a toothbrush in their mouths, and a huge fear of shame and judgment and criticism, which can often lead to a cycle of avoidance of dentists and then deterioration and then more shame and guilt. There's also a lot of self-calming difficulties because of how trauma changes the brain. And so people often from a young age turn to addictive coping strategies, which all damage the mouth. So smoking and comfort eating and drinking and drugs. But it's such a double whammy because although a lot of the coping strategies with trauma damage the mouth, because of wanting to avoid being in that powerless situation again,
you don't go to the dentist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's a vicious cycle, right? You can aggravate your dental health by avoiding that sort of procedure. No, I see what you're saying. I mean, what are some of the ways, though, that other clinicians and dentists can identify survivors and I guess rebuild that trust and safety?
Yes, just as you said. So because all trauma involves a loss of power, that's common to trauma of all kinds, what's incredibly important is that as dentists, we give back power, control and choice at every moment of the interaction. So there's an incredible amount we can do to address this. And because so many indicators of family violence and sexual assault are psychological and behavioural, if we have an awareness of trauma and look through a trauma lens and account for how it affects the way people present to us with fears and behaviours and how they respond to us, for example, perceiving blame where it wasn't intended, and it really helps us to work out how to tailor treatment to their care and avoid re-traumatising. people or causing it in the first place. So yes, to transfer from a kind of what's wrong with you, focus on a diagnosis and what's wrong with people, into a what happened to you, which is taking all the judgment out and really carefully listening to people without any rushing or sort of task-oriented thinking, and working in a collaborative partnership of an equal status, rather than being that sort of caretaker who fixes the broken patient, which is the old medical model, moving into a collaborative sort of model, and also to really believe in people's ability to heal and focusing on their strengths and using them to empower people through their treatment. So that just goes such a long way.
It's
especially crucial, oral health, for survivors of sexual assault and family violence, because the mouth is how we express ourselves and connect in the world, and it just plays such a central role. So I'm very passionate because we have such a unique opportunity as dentists to help people heal from trauma, actually, and to really transform their lives.
It's a really important issue to discuss. Thank you very much for joining us on the program. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. Melbourne dentist Sharon Zaks, AO there. Just remember, if you're in an abusive situation or you know someone who is, that number 1-800-RESPECT, 1-800-737-732. Call 000 if it's an emergency.